In the name of Jesus, who is Lord over every authority. Amen. As we began our journey through John's Gospel, we heard John's opening words about the Word, the Logos, the pattern, the plan, and order of God's Word, God's world becoming flesh. And that crazy prophet guy, John the Baptist, had gone forth into the wilderness telling everyone that this Word made flesh was already standing in their midst. Among them, they just didn't recognize it. They didn't see it for what it was. And so when John had finally seen Jesus of Nazareth walking by that one day, he had cried out, "This is the one, the Lamb of God, to take away the sin of the world." And John pointed the people to Jesus to follow him. And so we heard of Jesus' first disciples going up to him and Jesus inviting them, saying, "Come and see." We heard of Jesus' first disciples being excited by what the prospect of this Jesus, the Word, the pattern of God made flesh among them. So excited by this, they went and told their own friends, "Come and see." And so the journey of John's Gospel began. Shortly after this, Jesus spoke to one of these first disciples named Nathanael, and he said to him, "Truly I tell you, you will see heaven opened and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man." Strange picture, strange words. But if we remember Jacob, who later was named Israel, the father of the people of Israel, he had one night gone out into the wilderness to sleep. And he had laid his head upon a stone, and he had had a dream. A dream where he saw a ladder connecting heaven and earth. And he saw angels ascending and descending. Jacob had woken up the next morning and had a profound realization. He said, "This place, this random place in the wilderness," he said, "this is the house of God. This is the gate to heaven." And so as Jesus tells Nathanael these words, "You will see heaven opened and the angels ascending and descending upon the Son of Man," Jesus is preparing his followers. This place where I dwell, this body in which I inhabit, is the gate of heaven. This is the house of God. So following this, we're told of Jesus going down to Jerusalem to celebrate the Passover. And as he goes down to Jerusalem, he enters the temple. And we're told of this fury that rages within inside him. Jesus sees all the money exchange going on within God's temple, people selling doves and cattle and sheep for slaughter. So Jesus makes a whip and he begins to rescue the animals, driving them out of this house of killing and slaughter. And he overturns the tables of the money changers and he tells them, "Why have you made the house of God a marketplace?" Absolutely furious at this, the leaders and authorities, as you can imagine, confront Jesus, challenge him. "How dare you? What gives you the authority to do this in the house of God?" Jesus' response puzzled them. He said, "Destroy this temple, and in 3 days, I will raise it up." These faithful people of God didn't get it. They thought Jesus was talking about the building in which they were residing. The building where there was sacrifice taking place, where the animals were being bought and sold and given over to be killed. They thought Jesus was talking about a building. And so they respond, "It took 46 years to build this building, Jesus. You think you can build it up in 3 days?" Ha. They didn't get it. They didn't have the eyes to see what he was talking about. We were told that later Jesus' disciples would understand Jesus didn't care about the building of the temple. What he was talking about was his body. His body was the house of God, not some building. His body was the gate of heaven, where heaven and earth were coming together and were connected. But before Jesus had gone into Jerusalem, there was this famous story of him going to a wedding feast. This wedding in Cana, a great party. And Jesus shows up to the party, and Mary's words are extremely profound. She tells those gathered, "Do whatever Jesus tells you." Period. As this party goes on, they run out of wine, and the party begins to simmer down. Frustrated and embarrassed, the wedding party is looking for a way to keep the party going. Mary points again to Jesus. "Do whatever he tells you." Jesus instructs them to take these great purification jars and to fill them with water. And they go and they do so. And as they listen to the command of Jesus, doing exactly what he says, the impossible happens. This water in these jars becomes wine. They listen to his word and there is abundance. They listen to his word and the party goes on. And they marvel at the wine that is there because they think usually people bring out the best first. And then as the party wanes on, you bring out the cheaper. But Jesus reveals that God saves the best for last. What God is going to do in his world, the best is yet to come. Following these two episodes of the wedding and the temple clearing, Jesus sits down one night with a man named Nicodemus, a teacher within God's people. Nicodemus is fascinated by this Jesus, these great signs that he is doing, turning water into wine, clearing the temple. Who is this guy? So Nicodemus sits down to talk with Jesus. And Jesus speaks to Nicodemus this most important concept. He says, in order to see and in order to enter the rule of God, you must be born from above. Nicodemus is confused by this whole concept of having a second birth. He tells Jesus, how am I to go back into my mother's womb and be born again? This doesn't make any sense. Jesus challenges his conception of what it means to be born. It's not the mere fleshly birth that Nicodemus had been thinking of. It was a new kind of birth. From above, with the Spirit. John had seen Jesus born with this second birth as the Spirit had descended from above upon Jesus at his baptism. This Spirit then renewed Jesus in a new way, and he was no longer simply a child of the flesh, a child of man. He was born from God. So Jesus challenges Nicodemus, saying, in order to participate in God's new world, you must have a new birth. One not, as we heard earlier in John's gospel, of violence and bloodshed, not one of the power and strength of men, not one of the reason and intelligence and wisdom of humankind, a birth from above. Jesus again tells Nicodemus, no one has ascended into heaven but the one who has first descended from heaven, the Son of Man. He again points to his body being the gate that connects heaven and earth. He is the house of God. And so Jesus ends his time with Nicodemus stressing this most important fact. To be faithful to the Son of Man is to live in the light. It is to have eternal life, new birth from above. Connect yourself to the Son of Man through your faithfulness to him. This faithfulness is played out in the way that we listen to the word of Jesus. If you listen to the word of Jesus, you live in the light. You are born from above. If you don't listen to the word of Jesus, you live in darkness, and your birth is from the violence, the bloodshed, the power of mere earthly men. Heaven. Powerful concept in our world and our culture. Jesus really challenges us in John's gospel to rethink our notions of what do we mean when we say heaven. Heaven in the scriptures is simply the place where God himself is dwelling. Where is God? There is heaven. In our culture, oftentimes, we think of heaven as a place that people simply go when they die if they're in right standing with God. But the scriptures challenge us so much deeper than this. Jesus himself has challenged us in our gospel reading to see that his body, his presence among us, is the gate of heaven. God is already dwelling in our midst through Jesus. If we are walking with Jesus, we are already in heaven. For God's presence is already among us. So this day we are challenged to rethink our ideas of what it means for God to live among us right now in this time. What kind of birth has given birth to us? Are we the product of the violence and the bloodshed of mankind? Are we the product of the authority of human powers? Are we the product of the science, the reason, the intelligence, the wisdom of mankind? Or are we a people that have been birthed out of something heavenly? God's presence, not man's power, God's power among us. Are we a people who hear the teaching and word of Jesus and live it out, thereby walking in God's presence this day, right now? Or are we a people scared of the word of Jesus, challenged by it, where we step away from it to continue to walk in the ways of the world? Jesus has challenged us so far in the gospel and will continue to challenge us in the days to come with him and to see for ourselves. to journey with him, attach ourselves to him. And as we go with him, listening to his word, he challenges us that we will see things we never thought possible. We will experience the presence of God in our lives this day. Eternal life will begin now in this moment as we commune with Jesus and his word. Life, eternal life, has already begun if we attach ourselves to Jesus. God is present with him. God desires to be present in our world, giving us a new birth, where we will be different than the world around us, showing the world what God truly intends. Not the brokenness, not the suffering, not the death, but life, light, love, mercy, obedience to his word. Heaven has already come and dwelled within our midst. Attach yourself to Jesus. He will lead you in the light.